ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Sukadeva Goswami continued. When all the demigods requested the great Vishwarup to be their priest, Vishwarup, who was advanced in austerities, was very pleased. He replied to them as follows. Sri Vishwarup Uvacha Vigarhitam Dharamashilaya Brahmavaracha Upavyayam Kathamnu Mahavidho Natha Lokeshar Abhyachitam Pratyakya Yasti Tachtrishya Se Eva Swarata Uchyate. Sri Vishwarup said, O demigods, although the acceptance of priesthood is decried as causing the loss of previously acquired brahminical power, how can someone like me refuse to accept your personal request? You are all exalted commanders of the entire universe. I am your disciple and must take many lessons from you. Therefore, I cannot refuse you. I must agree for my own benefit. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The profession of a qualified Brahmin are patan, patan, yajan, yajan, dan, and pratigraha. The words yajan and yajan mean that a Brahmin becomes the priest of the populace for the sake of their elevation. One who accepts the post of spiritual master neutralizes the sinful reactions of the yajamana, the one on whose behalf he performs the yajna. Thus, the results of the pious acts previously performed by the priest or spiritual master are diminished. Therefore, priesthood is not accepted by learned Brahmins. Nevertheless, the greatly learned Brahmin Vishwarup became the priest of the demigods because of his profound respect for them. Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 7, entitled Indra Offends Brihaspati, text number 34 and 35. In this story of Srimad Bhagavatam, the demigods are in a condition of great material distress. Although they have wealth, bodily strength, influence, far, far greater than anyone could possibly attain on this earth, things happen in their lives that was simply beyond their control. Due to a mistake, Indra became proud, and in his pride, he simply did not respect his spiritual master, the great Brahman Brihaspati. And the reaction of that was that the modes of material nature just turned against them. The demons, their enemies, gained great power.
defeated them, emotionally, totally humiliated them, physically plundered everything they had.
We find in this story of the Bhagavatam these great demigods who were living in magnificent palaces with gardens, who were controllers of entire planets. They became homeless, literally homeless. They were wandering around. They lost their positions. They lost their property. They lost their respect. Emotionally, physically humiliated. If it could happen to them, what is our position in this world? In the 1970s, Srila Prabhupada would sometimes refer to President Nixon, because he was in office when Prabhupada was preaching here in America. He was the most powerful person in the world as far as political power. He was the president of the United States. He won quite a landslide election. But he made a mistake. He made some apparat to the Democrats. He just made a foolish mistake. Or let us say he allowed others to make mistakes on his behalf. Total humiliation, political ruination, and he was torn out of his office. Such a powerful person, riding high in the waves of success, and the next minute just submerged deeply in suffering. This is very much the history of the world. Samashitaye padapalavaplavam mahatpadam pundya yashomarari bhavam buddhir vatsa padam 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 yadvipadam natesham. It is a world where there is danger at every step, whoever we are. In London, I know many Indian people, they were multimillionaires in countries like Uganda. Beautiful estates, political power, incredible influence. Their whole lives. And then there was just a change of government. Beyond their control. Some revolutionaries took over the government and they took everything away from them. They somehow or other escaped with their lives to London as beggars with nothing. They couldn't take anything out of the country. So, Kamala Dala Jala Jivana Talamala. The poet Govinda Das describes the nature of the material world. Our property, our wealth, our health, our influence, our family members, loved ones, friends. They are all likened to a drop of water on lotus leaf. Drop of water does not remain on lotus leaf for very long. At any moment, just slips away into oblivion. So to make our happiness, accumulating such attachments in this world, is, according to Prahlad Maharaj, and according to Gita as well, the cause of suffering. Yehi samsparshaja bhoga dukha yona evate atyantavanta konteya nateshu ramate buddha. Krishna explains that the pleasures of this world are the sources of all miseries. And Prahlad Maharaj tells a 5-year-old boy, very wise, he said, if you want to be happy in this world, just stop trying to be happy in this world. Because if you want to solve the problems of this world, the solutions to the problems are usually creating bigger problems than the original problem in due course of time.
These modes of material nature are very, very, very difficult to overcome. There's really only one solution, and that is to surrender to Krishna. Krishna can give us shelter. Krishna could lift us up from this ocean of material existence. Mamupeti tu konteya dukalaya mashashvatam napnavanti namahatmana samsadim paramam gata mamupeti punar janma dukalaya mashashvatam. That one who attains the spiritual platform of life transcends the modes of material nature. Otherwise, dukalaya mashashvatam. In this world, because everything is temporary, there's miseries everywhere. No matter what arrangements you make. Can you even imagine the type of arrangements that the demigods make for their family life, for their domestic social life, to maintain their properties? Such incredible arrangements, and they're very powerful. The armies of the demigods are billions of times more powerful than the US Army or the Chinese Army. Practically any one demigod could defeat our whole armies. And they have armies of millions with supernatural weapons. But yet they could not defend themselves because they made an offense to a great soul. It was their karmic reaction to lose all their powers due to pride. In the Christian scripture it explains, pride cometh before the fall. When you're proud, you think you're better than others. When you think you're better than others, you have the inclination to make offenses to others, to criticize others. And then there's a karmic reaction. Depending on the particular persons that you are offending, there will be a karmic reaction. If you offend even an insect, there's a reaction. If you offend a human being in a wretched condition, there's a reaction. If you offend a Vaishnav, there's a far greater reaction. If you offend spiritual masters, even greater reaction. And that's what the demigods did due to pride. So they ran to Lord Brahma, because they had to find some shelter somewhere. And Brahma chastised them very nicely. He said, "You are fools. You lost everything that you're so attached to because you're not properly respecting others. Brihaspati, you disrespected him. This is the natural reaction." And the demigods had no power to regain what they had lost by their own efforts. You need the help of someone who has superior power than yourselves. In one sense, that is the situation of all of us, that we are all originally Krishna conscious. Love for Krishna, which is the greatest treasure, premadan, the greatest of all treasures, is within our hearts. It's our eternal constitutional nature. The living entity is Satchit Ananda, eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. How many of us here today are enjoying being eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss? Please raise your hand. How many are not enjoying such a state? In a democracy. It is quite a decisive vote. Yes, we are eternal, full of knowledge, full of bliss. Mamayvamso jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana. We are part of Krishna. The greatest of all wealth is to be happy. Is it not? What is the use if you have so much but you're miserable? And the fundamental need that we require to be happy is love. Love for Krishna. So yes, that is our wealth. As the children of God, it is our inheritance. Sridhar Swami, the original commentary of Bhagavatam, describes in this way, it is the inheritance of every devotee to be in the spiritual world, enjoying the property of the mother and father, Radha and Krishna. All the sacred Kalpa Briksha trees, the river Yamuna, all the wealth and opulences of Vaikunthas, that's where we're supposed to be. It's our natural inheritance to have all that, to be with that, with Krishna. And that is the state of Satchidananda. It's within our hearts. But we've lost it all. Why have we lost it all? Same reason the demigods lost everything. Due to neglect. Due to disrespecting God. Disrespecting those who are dear and near to God. Somehow or other, we became proud. And we wanted to think that we can enjoy separate than surrendering in humility to the Supreme. And therefore, we have lost all the inner treasures of our heart. We've lost Krishna. We've lost our eternal nature. We've lost our blissful nature, our all-knowing nature. And whether you're a multi-billionaire or whether you're just a simple person, you know, cooking at home for the children and the husband, we're all like beggars. We're all wandering in the wilderness of forgetfulness. We have lost the spiritual treasure, which is really our own. And the problem is, we continue in this lost state because we're not willing to turn to the Lord. But as in this verse, if the demigods cannot get their wealth by their own efforts, and they're millions and millions of times greater than us, and they're just talking about material wealth, then there's not even the slightest chance by our efforts that we can gain back our lost spiritual wealth. We lost it so long ago. The vast population within the world have no idea it's even there. The trees, the fish, the insects, the reptiles, the birds, the animals, and the mass quantity of human population, the spirit souls who are all meant to be inhabitants of the spiritual world, the spirit soul who within their own existence is eternal, full of knowledge, full of bliss, with loving devotion to the Supreme, have practically no recognition that it's even there. Total forgetfulness. But Krishna is so kind. यदा यदा हि धर्मस्य ग्लानिर्भवति भारत अभ्युतनम धर्मस्य तदात्मनम सृजाम्यहम.
He comes to the world again and again to remind us. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to explain, this material world is no place for ladies and gentlemen.
It's a place where people are just plundering each other. Some are plundering each other in the mode of goodness, passion, or ignorance. Place of selfishness, place of false ego. But the Lord comes to this world out of His mercy to remind human society, there is a great treasure.
Lord Chaitanya tells this story to Sanatana Goswami, that there was an astrologer called Sarvagya, and he met a very poor man who knew he had an inheritance of a treasure, but he lost it. He was suffering like anything. So Sarvagya told him, actually, your father has given you a very, very great treasure, but you just don't know where to look for it. And he told him, if you dig on one side in the ground, a yaksha ghost will attack you. If you dig on another direction, then drones and bees will come and sting you. And if you dig in another direction, a big black serpent will devour you. Hare Krishna. This refers to desiring impersonal liberation, which is like being devoured by a snake. Desiring mystic powers, which is like being haunted by yakshas. And desiring fruitive activities, a better material situation, which is like being stung by bees and wasps. Hare Krishna. But if you go in the eastern direction, he said, just a little dirt you turn over and you will find the treasure. That is the path of devotion. Daiviheshu guna mayi mama maya duratiya mamevamye prapadyante maya meta tirantite. If we just surrender to Krishna, then He will deliver us from all the modes of material nature and bring us to His abode. He will reveal the treasure that is within our hearts. Now, how to do that? It's not possible by our own efforts. Therefore, Lord Brahma told them, you must go to Vishwaroop. Vishwaroop will give you the direction and the power by which you will be able to overcome the enemies. Who are our enemies? False pride, anger, lust, greed, envy, illusion. These are the demon enemies that are within our heart. These demon enemies have, in so many words, stolen away the treasure of our happiness, of our spiritual identity. And like the demigods, whoever we are, we're no competition against these demons. Therefore, tad vijnanartham sagurum eva abhigacchet. If we want to understand what is really the means, we must approach spiritual master, who's representing Krishna, who's accessing the mercy of Krishna for us. And by the spiritual master's spiritual direction, teaches us, actually connects us, so that Krishna reveals that treasure within. Chaito darpana marajanam bhava mahadavakni nivapanam. When we take the name of God from the spiritual master, when we learn the process of chanting properly, the holy name, Krishna Himself, can slay all of the anartas, the unwanted demons within us, and restore what we're all looking for. Spiritual happiness and spiritual love. So the demigods approach Vishwaroop,
And Vishwaroop is actually very humble and very honest. Lord Brahma warned the demigods that Vishwaroop is equal to everyone. He doesn't discriminate so much who he gives mercy to. You're going to ask, he's going to have to perform a yajna for you to give you the power to overcome the obstacles in your lives. But he's also very favorable to the demons. He doesn't necessarily agree with them, but he doesn't discriminate. He'll give them mercy too. But don't worry about it. Tolerate that. Because ultimately, if you just follow him and get his help, you will succeed. So they approach Vishwaroop. And although these very, very great, powerful demigods had such supernatural shaktis, they're coming to this simple, poor Brahmin, saying, help us, because you have a higher connection than us. Our connections are down on this platform, but you have higher connection. I'll never forget something that really changed my father's heart. He was in India, and he was at the house of a very, very wealthy industrialist. Earlier that day, he went to some of his factories. His smaller factories were several city blocks long, entire blocks, story after story after story, floors with such expensive manufacturing equipment. My father, who's a businessman in America, thought he was, you know, quite successful, but when he saw this operation, he felt like a firefly in front of the sun. I mean, this man has tens and thousands of employees, massive factories, and incredible machinery. And then he went to his house that night for dinner. It was a beautiful mansion. And this man told my father, he said, you and me, he said, we're very poor and insignificant, but your son, he is great. Father, he was bewildered by that. He hasn't had a bank account in 40 years. Sleeps on a straw mat on the floor. Doesn't have anything. No property, no home, no family. Oh, I don't understand. He said, because he has some... I'm not saying I have it, but at least that's what this man was saying. His illusion. Saying, because he has something great, spiritual peace, spiritual attainment. He said, all that we have, he said, it's really not worth much of anything. That is greatness, to have spiritual enlightenment. Now, please don't take it wrong. I don't have much of any of that, but he was saying like that. Because I'm representing a sadhu. My father was shocked. From that day on, he was looking at me with different eyes. Instead of seeing me as just some Hare Krishna who just has no life of, you know, just everything that's valuable to him is just doesn't exist in my life, he starts thinking he's great. he has something more than me. Because hearing it from a person like that, he had to believe. So yes, these great demigods are approaching a poor little Brahmin, Vishwaroop. Because they need his help. Because he has something that they don't have. He has that connection to the Lord that can give them the power to regain their service to the Lord and everything else that's connected. And the nature of Vishwaroop is very, very important to understand. In his words here, he's not considering himself a great soul. He's considering himself a servant. saying, actually, I'm your disciple. You're all much greater than me. But because it is your desire, I will do this for you. Even though in extending myself to help you, I'm going to lose so much of my powers. Prabhupada explains here, spiritual masters, you know, when they perform the yajna of actually delivering Krishna consciousness to a person, that person's karma is to an extent neutralized, and the neutralization means the spiritual master has to take some of that. And therefore, there's a great loss. Unless the spiritual master is just so absolutely transparent. So Vishwarupa is actually willing to take on a great sacrifice for the benefit of these demigods. He's going to lose substantial amount of his brahminical powers just to help them. And we see this is a common thing. In the Christian religion, Jesus, who was the spiritual master, look at what he went through. And it all happened, according to the philosophy, because he was taking the sins of his followers. Taking the sins of his followers. He was willing to do it. Crucified. Lost his life. In this world, at least. He left this world. It's compassion. And Prabhupada explained about the Christians that if you're really a Christian, you should love your guru. You shouldn't want to give him more pain. St. Paul said, every time a Christian sins, he's crucifying Christ again. That's St. Paul's teaching to the Christians. Every time you sin, you're crucifying him again. Is that love? Similarly, Srila Prabhupada, sometimes he would get very, very sick. He said it is because the devotees are not following the regulative principles. So, great personalities, Vaishnavas, are sometimes willing to lose so much to give people to give other people Krishna. We see Haridas Thakur, because he was preaching the glories of the holy name, he was beaten in 22 marketplaces, blasphemed, offended repeatedly out of compassion. Now, we actually make our spiritual advancement to the degree we respect and appreciate that. Krishna will not be pleased if we plunder or take advantage of the compassionate nature of somebody. Great souls are giving their lives for the welfare of others. And love means to help them, not to pile more on them. Srila Prabhupada requested of us so much in his mission of giving Krishna consciousness to the world, so much came upon him. And he requested, you know, help. Take this. He created a GBC, he created sannyasis, he created so many. To take that burden, to share that burden, that's love. Love for our spiritual leaders is not to put more burden on them. Love is to actually make sacrifices ourselves to take that burden, to share that burden, to make it lighter. That's love. That's reciprocation. That's Krishna consciousness. Therefore, devotees were taking so much trouble, and they still are, just to assist Srila Prabhupada. Taking burdens to relieve him, to assist him. That is actual disciple. not simply one who piles more on, but one who shares the burden that everyone else is putting. And that's how we make spiritual progress. Because that's what pleases Krishna. So, Vishwarup, he's willing to do it, even though he knows he's going to have to go through a lot. But he's willing to do it because he's a selfless servant. How wonderful. But we find in this chapter, the demigods just didn't get it, at least not in this particular episode in history. He's doing so much for them, but instead of seeing what he's doing for them, what sacrifice he's doing for them, what he's willing to give up for them, for their welfare, they were just thinking in terms of Janasya Mohoya Mahamameti, I and mine. They weren't sympathetic. It's like Prabhupada in Mexico. He was staying in a room, I think it was some kind of guest house, and there was a crucifix of Jesus on it. He practically started crying. His mood is a Vaishnav. He said, why do the Christians want to keep him on the cross? He was crying, seeing the suffering. Why do they want to keep him there? And Prabhupada was speaking with realization, deep realization. So here we find that Janasya Mohoya Mahamameti. People are so immersed in thinking in terms of I and mine. That's the basic principle of all material bondage. People are so selfish. Actually, the way to give up, to get rid of your own problems is to help solve other people's problems. As long as you're focusing on your own problems, they're just going to magnify in one way or another. So here's the demigods. They come to Vishwarup, and he's going to be doing the yajna in the future verses, but he gives some oblation to the demons as well. The demigods are going to win if he does it, but he's just showing some favor to the others also, because that's his heart. He can't not. They ask him to do something, he can't say no. And the demigods, instead of thinking that Vishwarup, we've come to him on the order of Brahma. Brahma knows what he's talking about. He's our father. He's the original guru of this universe. He knows. We're coming to our father. He tells us to go to Vishwarup. Vishwarup's explaining to us that he's going to have to lose so much of his power and his peace of mind and his everything to do this yajna for us. And he's willing to perform this compassionate sacrifice for us. And we're just, instead of thinking in a grateful way toward him, we're still thinking about our own selves. So he does an oblation for the demons, and they couldn't understand why. So what do? They attack him and cut his head off. That's pretty serious. That's pretty selfish. But it's also very symbolic. You know, sometimes great souls do things that we may not exactly understand, but they've given their lives and sacrifice to help us. Do we cut off their heads? Do we condemn them? Is that love? Is that appreciation? Will Krishna be happy? Not at all. So this is to the extent that this egoistic selfishness can even affect the hearts of devotees, because the demigods are all devotees. They all believe that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And they're actually rendering service to him. Whatever their activities are in the universal creation is service to God. Authorized. dharmasya hyapaparagyasya narathutaya upakalpati narathasya dharmakantasya kamo labayahi smrita. The Bhagavatam warns that when you get some service to Krishna, we shouldn't be attached to the results of the service for ourselves. Sometimes we may get fame and respect. Sometimes we may get money. Sometimes we may get all sorts of other benefits from our service. We shouldn't be attached to those things. We should be attached to the service, whether they come or not. But the demigods were attached to the fringe benefits of their service. Yes, if you want to do this service for me, you get to live in this palace, you get to live in this planet, you get this power, you get this influence, you have all these followers, and people will chant your holy names. It's like if you read the original Vedas, so many prayers to the demigods that people have been chanting since time immemorial. Very well, and the demigods are listening. Very nice, very nice. You shouldn't be attached to those things. They should be attached to their service to Krishna, to help others. But the demigods in this particular story are depicting people who are very selfish. Even someone is willing to take such risk and make such sacrifice to help them. They're still thinking, oh, they're suspicious. He does one thing that they don't like the way he does it, and they reject. They attack. They kill. Is Krishna pleased with them? Their karma is going to multiply immensely through this process. Bhaktivinoda Thakur prays that the essence of all religion is to show compassion to other living beings by promoting the glories of Krishna's holy names. Lord Chaitanya has told all people from India and indirectly everyone in the world, Bharat bhumite hoila manusya janmajar janma sarathakara kara para upakar. There are many types of welfare work. But the greatest, the supreme, the parakara upakar, the greatest of all welfare work is to enlighten a person's consciousness, to free the burden of material karma from people by giving them transcendental knowledge. And what is that knowledge? How to live this world properly, with a proper perception, and to chant the holy names, which cleans our hearts. When Lord Chaitanya was in Kurumakshetra, Kurma Brahman wanted to follow him, leave his family, leave everything. Lord Chaitanya said, no, do not ever speak in this way again. You remain home. You study Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and teach it to others and always chant the holy names, and you will be perfect. In this way, you will be a guru. That is the greatest welfare. So to share in this mission of compassion, to give of ourselves to help others, not to overburden others with our own problems. We can overcome our problems by selfless service, by chanting God's names, and by teaching people what is Bhagavad Gita. Srila Prabhupada put so much of his life and energy to transmit the glories of the holy name to the world and to write these wonderful books. It's Lord Chaitanya's message, the supreme welfare is repeat the words of these books, live by the words of these books, and give these books to others. Give this knowledge to others, and chant the holy names. So yes, in the back table, Bhagavad Gita is there. Please, everyone, take these Bhagavad Gitas, as many as possible, home and do great welfare by giving them to your relatives, your friends, and reading them and repeating the message and live by that message. Help to remove the burden of the world. Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna was in the same type of situation. He was thinking very selfishly at the beginning, but Krishna told him, what is selfless service? That is where we will find the unlimited treasure of love that is within our hearts. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.